The power of enthusiasm. I want you to look at verse 4 in the passage that we read a few moments ago, the last little part of Romans 6:4, where Paul said, "So we also should walk in newness of life." I want to ask you today if you're walking in newness of life. The word enthusiasm is one of the great words in the English language. The reason it's so great is that it comes from the ancient Greek language in which the New Testament was written. And it's broken down into two parts, en, meaning in, and theos, T-H-E-O-S, meaning God. So the word enthusiasm from the Greek means in God. Or, even better, it means God in us. I took the dictionary down, and Webster says this about the word enthusiasm, a spirit that adds zest to life. And I say, amen. It is the spirit that adds zest to life, God in us. Then he had another little line under the word enthusiasm, which was very significant. It said, extreme religious emotion. And I said, right on, right on. God in us. Because when God is in us, there is extreme religious emotion. There is a spirit that adds zest to life. Psalm 36:9 says, "For with thee is the fountain of life." As you read these verses in Romans 6, there ought to be the tremendous impression taking hold of you that God is interested in life. Verse 6, "Our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin." Verse 14, "Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace." Verse 11, "Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Over and over again. Alive, or life, or quickened, or newness. And of course the word walk means the day-by-day drudgery of life. That we walk in newness of life. God in us. Extreme religious emotion. Jesus said in John 10:10, "I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." What kind of a religious experience do you have on this Sunday morning? Be honest with yourself. Is it joyless and powerless and useless? Or is it true blood, snow white, 100%, crystal pure, all wool, fireproof, guaranteed and insured to last forever? What kind? And what does the world think of when they look at you, a Christian? "And I have come," he said, "not that you would think you're on your way to a funeral, but on your way to a coronation. I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." Julius Rosenwald, one-time president of Sears Roebuck, used to say, "If life hands you a lemon, make a lemonade out of it." That's it. Our attitude is too often like the little girl who wrote to God in children's letters to God and said, "You should see our grass. Did you do it?" We think God is responsible for everything wrong, every piece of burnt grass, every burned egg, everything that goes wrong in life, God is responsible for it. He doesn't like me. But that's not the way it is. When you read God's Word, you won't find that negative attitude in the Word of God. It's exactly the opposite. "I've come that you might have life." We should walk in newness of life. And over again, he speaks of life, not death, not downcast spirits. Not dejection, but life. God in us. Somehow we've lost it, and I think one of the reasons is we built big cathedrals, put big organs in them, and sang hymns in the minor key, and said to our children, shh, be quiet, you can't talk in church, you're making too much noise, quiet, this is God's house, and God says, let him loose, I want life. God was never interested in quiet. He wants life. His favorite room is the nursery. He's interested in life, not death. It carries over into our adult life. We think we're supposed to be sedate, fold our hands, and go through motions that are supposed to be spiritual when God is afar off rather than near us as he wants to be. Or the power of enthusiasm. It's football season. Vince Lombardi is a name connected with the Green Bay Packers, a team that in 1958 had a record of 1 win, 1 tie, and 10 losses. And ladies, that ain't good. In case you just weren't sure, that's no compliment. 1 win, 1 tie, 10 losses. Then Vince Lombardi came on the scene. 1959, the month was June. He met with his team, same team that in 58 won 1 game, tied another, and lost 10. They were all kind of slouched down in their chairs when their new coach walked in. He had been a student at Fordham years before, where he had been a 185-pound guard in the famous line known as the 7 Blocks of Granite. He looked over the team silently for a long time, didn't say a word, just looked at them in the room that day in 1959, and then in a very quiet but intense way, Vince Lombardi said, gentlemen, we're going to have a football team. We're going to win some games. Then he said 2 words, get that. You are going to learn to block, you are going to learn to run. You're going to learn to tackle. You are going to outplay all the teams that come up against you. And then he would say it again. Get that. And how is this to be done? He continued. You are to have confidence in me and enthusiasm for my system. The secret of the whole matter will be what goes on up here. And he tapped the temples of his head. Hereafter, I want you to think of only 3 things. Your home, your religion, and the Green Bay Packers. And then he said, let enthusiasm take hold of you. Bart Starr was a member of that team. And Bart Starr said, the fellows were sitting up on their chairs. There was no more slouching. And he said, when I walked out of that meeting that day, I felt 10 feet tall. Now, what happened to that team that won 1 game, tied 1, and lost 10? Same team. They won 7 games in 1959. In 1960, they won the division championship, and in 1961, they were the world champions, and they repeated 3 years in a row. Same group of fellas. I'm here to submit to you today that the same thing that happened to the Green Bay Packers can happen in your life, it can happen in our church, it can happen in your home, it can happen in your business. And the word is enthusiasm, or entheos, God in us. And I want somehow for that truth to get a hold of you. Jesus said, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Whoever taught you that you had to beg and plead or to arrive at some pinnacle of spiritual experience to please God, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Remember what he said to the church in Revelation 3, I know thy works. Thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art neither cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. You see, the thing that God is irked with most of all is for us to just sit there in lukewarmness, in unconcern, apathy. It makes him ill. George Matthew Adams said, enthusiasm is a kind of faith that has been set afire. There's heat in enthusiasm. God in us. I want you, every time you hear that word in your mind, to hear these words, God in us. That's what it means. God in me, helping me to achieve, helping me to climb the ladder, helping me to solve this problem, helping me to dream dreams, helping me to be the man, the woman, the young person God wants me to be. God in me. And because of that, I am filled with enthusiasm about life. That's why Paul said you're to walk in newness of life. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I observe people sometimes after water baptism. They come with their heads down and they say, since my baptism, I've had the battle of the century. I want to ask you, is it a battle or is it victory? My Bible tells me it's victory. When Jesus came out of the waters of baptism, the Holy Ghost descended upon him and he went in the power of the Spirit into the wilderness. He faced the devil head on in the power of the Holy Spirit. You know what's wrong with us? Our attitude is bad. We expect the devil to get after us. We expect the Christian life to be hard and difficult, if not almost impossible. I was talking to Dr. Tim LaHaye last weekend while he was with us about a familiar thing that has come to us in the last few years. It's called burnout. Men talk about it all the time. I'm experiencing burnout. Preachers talk about it. Businessmen talk about it. Housewives are burned out. You know what Dr. LaHaye told me? He said, Glenn, the leading psychologists of our time are saying there is no such thing as burnout. It is not true. And then he said the other phrase that we hear often in the counseling room is midlife crises. Do you know, we are beginning to believe that there is no such thing as a midlife crisis. That helped me because I haven't had it. I don't know what it would be like. I'm not sure if I've had it. Maybe I have had it. I don't know. If I have, it was wonderful. I want it again. I'll take it any day. It was good. He said, it's not burnout. It's not midlife crises. It's attitude. You see, what we read in books affects us. What we look at on the news affects us. And somebody says, you know, along about this age, you're going to feel funny. And, oh, boy, I do. I feel funny. I better sit down. Or, you know, I might have a heart attack or something. I'm not in... I feel like I'm 21 this morning. Maybe that's the midlife crisis. You feel 21 when you're 50. Praise God for it. It's wonderful. I don't know how to relate. I apologize. But I don't, and he helped me so much with that conversation. Because it's what I've believed for years. No professional ever told me. And it just helped me extensively to have my gospel underscored for this message this morning. And God told me to come here and tell you today that this is His word, walk in newness of life. God told me to tell you what Jesus said to His disciples, I have come that you might have life. He never said, I've come so you can make it through burnout or midlife crises. I've come that you might have life. God in us. I want to suggest to you, you improve your attitude. You get a vision of God. You see Jesus high and lifted up, seated at the right hand of the Father, praying for you. He cares about you. He's powerful to help you. You can make it, and you will, because He cares. God in us. The power of enthusiasm. I've looked at the Gospels again, and oh, have I been blessed. It was the Gospel that made a rough fisherman believe that he could be somebody. Now, if anybody should have been down and out, it would have been Peter. He fished all night, took nothing. That's terrible. He wasn't very prosperous. He had a mother-in-law at home, sick of the fever. I mean, he was desperate, midlife. I can just hear John and James saying, Peter, it's midlife crisis. You just got to accept it. And then Jesus came along, and he said, Peter, you're no longer going to be a reed. You're no longer going to have this crisis and this burnout, this fisherman burnout that everybody's talking about. You're going to be a rock. And I want you to follow me. And he got up and he straightened up and Peter followed Jesus and he became the preacher of Pentecost. That's in the gospel. And I read in the gospel that a diseased woman who had spent everything she had on doctors and was none better came to Jesus and she believed she could be healed. And guess what? She walked away healed. It's in the Gospels that I read of a man who was a demoniac, a raving maniac at Gadara, who when he met Jesus was no longer a maniac, clothed and in his right mind, no more crises. I read in the Gospels of a whore who came to Jesus and believed she could be a lady. And she was at the tomb on the morning of resurrection, praising her risen Lord. A whore who became a respected citizen, she dared to believe it. I read in the Gospels of a crooked politician who no one could trust, no one could believe in. He cheated everybody. He was the worst word in the community, Zacchaeus. Everybody was ready to vomit at the word Zacchaeus. Made the whole city sick until Jesus came by and Jesus said, come on, Zacchaeus, I want to go to my house. I'm experiencing burnout, Jesus. I'm going through midlife crises. Nobody loves me. Nobody likes me. He said, I don't care. I want to go to your house today. And when he sat down with Jesus, he said, you know, Jesus, I want to pay everybody back. In fact, fourfold. What I've taken from any man, I'm willing to give back. And Jesus just smiled. And Zacchaeus, the burnout, the midlife crises man of Jericho suddenly became a disciple of Jesus Christ with enthusiasm, filled with God. What kind of gospel do you read? We make so many excuses. Two little girls were talking one day about getting married, and one of them had a bright idea. She said, I'm going to marry a doctor so that when I get sick, I can get well for nothing. And the other one said, well, I'm going to marry a minister, so when I'm bad, I can be good for nothing. I'm afraid our religion is too much like that, folks. The gospel is good news. It's powerful. It is the answer. Are you enthusiastically living it and presenting it to the world? Look at it again. Walk in newness of life. Walk in newness of life. Two travelers on the road to Emmaus, midlife crises, burnout. He's dead. We're done for. What are we going to do? My wife doesn't love me. I think I'm going to lose my job, and I know that Social Security will never last till I'm 65. Suddenly, there was a man walking by them on the road, and they didn't know who he was at first. They were just so sad. They couldn't see Jesus because they came to church that day in midlife crises and burnout. And somebody told them they had to experience it, so just accept it. And they couldn't see Jesus. Until finally he made himself known to them and they perked up. They listened. And when it was all over, they said, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us by the way? And they were changed. They went away with enthusiasm because the gospel says, in newness of life, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. What kind of a gospel are you reading? God in us. Oh, it's powerful news. And how many people need it. A girl was walking down a road after a little fight with her aunt who she lived with, and she saw a mule sticking its head over the fence, and the mule looked rather sad, you know, and she said, I understand, mule, my aunt has religion too. I declare to you, that is the attitude of all too many people. God's against us? It's not true. God is for us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? And if God is in us, what can ever defeat us? Listen to these verses. Ephesians 4:23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. John 15:11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. John 1:4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And then 2 Corinthians 2:14 is a declaration of faith. Now thanks be unto God who always causeth us to triumph in Christ like a sweet smell that spreads everywhere. God uses us to make Christ known to all men. You see, on page after page after page, we hear that Christianity is not a dour, sad religion. It's a babbling brook and the singing of a skylark. It's good news. You know, we just returned from 3 weeks in Europe and the Holy Land, and I'll tell you one thing you are impressed with is the dour sadness of the world's religions contrasted with Christianity. Dead churches, dead temples, no life, minor key, rules and regulations that bring death. In Jerusalem, we were on the fifth floor of a hotel, and right across on the other hill was the Muslim mosque, and every morning, 3:30, came this dirge, this voice, singing in the minor key, would wake me up every morning. And one morning I had it. I got out of bed. I got out on the balcony. There was a balcony outside the room. And I started singing in the major key. He's alive! He's alive! Jesus is alive! I sang back at that voice over there in the tower on the other hill. And I felt good about it. These things have I spoken unto you that your joy might be full. It's all right to smile. Go ahead. It won't hurt. Get Jesus in your heart. You can tackle anything. You can say to yonder mountain, remove, you dirty mountain, and it'll remove, and nothing will be impossible unto you. That's the religion I know. And that's what I want this city to experience. This whole city needs this life. This enthusiasm. You see, our world is possessed with thoughts of nuclear war. People are talking about the crime problem, the possibility of losing their Social Security. It's a big item. We're talking about abortion. It's so easy to get down. You just listen to the conversation of our time, and you can get down. And when we had the joy of planning this building, we put a tower out here that goes this way with a big cross on the top, reaching upward. We have a nose on the edge of this building with a huge gold cross on it reaching upward that's lighted at night. I came down that freeway last night in the dark, and that cross lit up for miles down the freeway. I had a hallelujah in my heart. Everything about this place says, look up, there is an answer, there's life. When everybody's shouting death and destruction and war and abortion and all of the rest, Jesus is alive. Take him into your heart and be enthusiastic about your life. This whole building shouts it to the world. Pretty soon there will be some big fountains right out there shooting up in the middle of that tower saying there's life and there's hope in Jesus. The power of enthusiasm. I was driving in my car the other day. The radio was on and Pat Boone was singing the song of the child singing from its mother's womb. And I listened to the words. Let me live. Let me walk into the sunshine. Let me live. Feel my mother's arms around me. Feel my father's love surround me. Be a part of God's creation. Let me live. The Spirit of God spoke to my heart and said, that's not only true about the possible fetus that would be aborted, but it's possible for Christians to be shouting, let me live. Let me walk into the sunshine. Let me live. Let me be a part of God's creation. Let me live. But they seem to be bound up and tied down and shackled with something that will not let them live. But I've come today with a word from God. He wants you to live. The whole book says life, 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 hope, hope, peace, peace. Faith, faith, I will give you the kingdom. I have chosen to take that option. I am choosing life, not death. Our text in Romans says that we should walk in newness of life. What is your religious experience like? Bow your heads with me, please, in prayer. All over this building, no one leaving or moving for a moment as we deal with God's Word. What is your experience like? Before I pray, how many of you in this room would like to lift your hand and say, Pastor Cole, I've been given a lie. I was told that you couldn't experience the joy and the blessing. It's just common to have to go through what I'm going through, and I've accepted that the devil fed me a lie. I haven't experienced life. I haven't experienced joy for so long, if ever. I was mistreated as a child. I was abused. No one ever received me or accepted me all through school. And I'm sure God is just like that. He doesn't like me either. It's a lie. Listen, it's a lie. God loves you. I love you. This church loves you. We're here to help you. Would you like to just slip your hand up while no one is looking around and say, Pastor Cole, pray for me. I need life today. Raise it up right now. Hold it there a minute. Let me look around. Yes, all over this room there are hands being raised up and down, all over in every section. God bless you. I know there's release. We're going to pray for that. Jesus, you've seen these hands. You know these people. There's something bubbling up within them right now. They've heard the Word of God, and the Word brings life. I pray that it will spout forth now in great joy. Let them feel God in this room. Let them know as they walk out of this service that God is in them, and the power of enthusiasm will carry them through. They can be successful. Their marriage can succeed. Their job can be a blessing. Life every day will be filled with newness and excitement. Hallelujah, I believe you're doing it. Devil, get out of here. You don't have any place here. Just get out of here. You don't have any rights here. You don't have any right with any of these people. Devil, just go. In the name of Jesus, we cast you out. Every vain imagination we cast out. Every evil thought we cast out. We control it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for the presence of resurrection power in this room today. Before my amen, with our heads still bowed, how many of you, some who raised your hands, maybe some who didn't, would say, Pastor Cole, I need to give my life to Jesus Christ. I need to surrender my sins and accept him as my Savior. I want you to do that today by an upraised hand. Lift it up right now. Pray for me, Pastor Cole. I want Jesus Christ in my life. I need to receive him. Yes, there are three hands down this section to my left, another way back in this section. God bless each of you. Keep raising them up if you want Jesus in your life. He is ready. He's always ready. Another way back there on the left-hand side. God bless you back there. Hold them till I see them, then you may put them down. Another over to my right. God bless you. Thank God for hearts that are responding. Thank you, young lady. God bless you. Those of you who raised your hands, and there's some still going up, may I ask you to do something for me? Get up from where you are now seated. Get to an aisle and come and meet me right here at the front, will you? I want to pray for you right close. Jesus called people publicly. He said, come and follow me. And they got up and followed him. Would you do me a favor? Do yourself a favor. Just rise right now. Move out to the aisle. Come on down. Start right now. You raised your hands. I want to pray with you right here. Even if you're up in the balcony, you can find your way down. God bless you as you come. From way back at the back wall. Come on. Come on. Hundreds have done it before you. And it'll be the greatest moment of your life. Don't hesitate. Back over here to my left. Several of you back there. Come on down. Let Jesus Christ take over your life today. Let this whole congregation pray for you and with you. Know the love of God which passes human understanding. How wonderful the Lord Jesus is. How faithful he is. God bless each of you that are coming. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you, dear. Jesus, I pray for each one up and down this row. They have had the courage to get up and come forward, and I pray now that they will experience the life of Jesus Christ. May they know your love, which passes understanding. And may they know they today pass from death to life, enter the kingdom of heaven, and have the blessing of all God's promises. Thank you, Jesus, for touching this young lady. Thank you, Jesus, for touching a young boy. I came when I was a boy. Thank God for children who hear the voice of God. How are you, dear? God bless you today. Jesus loves you. It's great to see you here. God bless you, buddy. God loves you. Settle it all this morning, huh? Praise God, buddy. God bless you. You're special. God bless your heart. Praise the Lord. How are you? Letting Jesus in? I can see it in your face. Praise God for you, dear. Thank God for these young girls. How are you? Letting Jesus take over your life? He really does love you, you know that?
Yeah.
Isn't that great? Serve him well, won't you? He deserves it.
I know.
God bless you. How are you, dear?
Thank you.
You know Jesus loves you?
Yeah.
He really does. Can I serve him?
Yeah.
That's worthwhile. Never turn back. There's nothing back there. It's all out in front. Amen. How are you, buddy?
Good.
God bless you.
Good.
Jesus loves you today.
Oh, he does every day.
Take him at his word. God bless you, buddy. How are you? Praise the Lord. Isn't this a great sight? All it takes is to look at this and it says every dollar invested is worth it. Every ounce of energy expended is worth it. Now let's all stand together for a moment, please. I want to talk to the men that are with us as our counselors talk to these that are here at the front. Give them the material. For numbers of weeks, I've been telling you about a coming men's program in our church called the Gideon's Band. Gentlemen, we are ready to inaugurate that program. I have set the first growth seminar for October, the last Saturday morning from 9 to noon. My prayer is for 300 men like Gideon had who will fight the enemy. And then many more men who will come on the team as through these men, other lives are touched. I'm going to ask men in our church who want to grow together in God to come forward and receive one of these little slips of paper that I want you to sign, but let me read it to you first. You are making a commitment by coming and filling this out. I want to be a part of the men's program at Capital Christian Center. I will commit myself to the following for a 10-month period of time. Attend a monthly meeting with Pastor Cole called Men's Growth Seminar. Sometimes it will be Saturday morning, other times Friday night. Attend the regular services of our church faithfully. Give the Lord his tithe 10% and contribute my offerings through the local church. Share a daily devotional with my family from Timeless Insights. Bring another man to special outreach banquets when announced. We're going to have some exciting guests. And sixth, endeavor to witness regularly through my life at home, in the church, and in the world. You're checking those things when you fill this out and turn it in to be a part of Gideon's Band. I have felt for some time my need of getting much closer to the men of our church, and this is going to do that. It's going to provide the tool through which that can happen. Now that the building program is behind us, I feel free to move into this other facet of our work. If God is speaking to your heart, sir, about being a leader and a man of God, I want you to be a part of Gideon's Band. I want us to grow together in God. And I want you to come. Our staff will be lined up here in front as we sing our closing benediction, and take one of these and fill it out and get it back to us as soon as you can. And we will be in touch with you about our next plan. It's going to be exciting, and I want hundreds of you to come. In the balcony, you come down, get one, take it with you, fill it out, turn it in at your first opportunity. Now I want you to go out of here a little bit off the ground.